New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the law firm of Davis & Davis. We're not a real law firm. Go ahead, grab a beer, a glass of wine, sit back and listen.
Wake up, Scott.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
Yeah, as a Navy man, this song means so much to me, and today is a huge loss.
Mr. Gordon Lightfoot passed away, I believe it was yesterday. He was 84. He had a good run.
Yeah, I mean... Dude, he was only 2 years older than my dad. Wow. Actually, he was the same age as my dad. If my dad would still be alive. So, yes. Rest in peace, Gordon.
We'll miss you.
I don't think he toured or did anything for years.
He did small tours because somebody told me he was in Akron or Cleveland just a few years back, but I can neither confirm or deny that.
Yeah. All right, welcome to the Davis and Davis Show.
Hi everybody,
I'm your host, Scott.
I'm your hostess, Burke.
Yeah. Still in my uniform.
But that's actually a cool looking shirt. I mean, it's kind of Hawaiian style. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I kind of... So, I used to be a fat kid. I'm down to 225 now.
Damn, I'm down 10-ish pounds. I'm down to 252. So
that's good, though. I mean, yeah. For you, that's good because you were getting to be a weeble wobble.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Are they doing the weight loss thing at work?
No, I just decided I didn't want to look like a fat tub of lard this summer. So, And then it's a good thing because, of course, you know, the doctors are all going, you must lose weight, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I'm already down 10 pounds. Shut the fuck up. Sorry. I have a cardiologist appointment tomorrow, and I have blood work due tomorrow. So to figure out where on the campus both of those places are in relation to each other, figure out what I'm going to do. So, and I updated some of the website, so some of the... bourbon reviews are a little more up to date and changed the background of the bourbon page, just a little more gothic. Trying to get there. And I've got this cool blood pressure cuff now. I got it from Amazon. It was like $40, but it will upload the results to an app on your phone. So, and then you can email that app to your doctor in like three different formats. It's really kind of cool.
So I guess we should kind of explain why Burke is talking about doctors and all this stuff.
If you tuned in last week, you know that I went to the ER room.
Burke died last week.
I'm not dead yet. That's the second thing on my blog that says I'm not dead yet, just so you know. I have a picture of me, like, with all my anodes and cathodes and shit attached to my chest on there, too. So shield your eyes and don't let the kids look at that one. That's a lot of white skin.
Whole lot of hair. Whole lot of hair.
It was kind of trimmed down. It's just a lot of white skin, man.
But you are white.
Oh, pasty, so.
Yeah. I mean... All right, sir. I'm glad that you're in better health. Losing weight is a very fun thing, especially when you hit that stall. Not just the stall.
You go up a little bit.
I had Jordan's wedding in the middle of my weight loss program.
No, that sucks.
I went down to 227, and after Jordan's wedding, I was back up at 340.
I somehow doubt that, but okay. It just felt like that.
No. I weighed myself. I was 339.2.
You were two what and went to what?
Not to, oh, sorry. I was 227 and I went up to 240. Well, 239. Okay.
That I believe.
Did I say 339?
Yeah, I'm like, you did not go up 100 pounds. What are you talking about? Quit exaggerating.
I eat a lot. I totally eat a lot. And eating a lot brings up our new segment,
which I can't remember what it was. It's not the Bob News Network. What was? Ah, yes. Motivational
speeches. Or wait, it's the Davis and Davis Show Motivational Minute. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready now.
Take a shit every day. At least once a day, take a mighty shit, preferably in the morning. Taking a shit is good for your mind, body, and your soul. When you don't take a shit, you carry the heaviness and all the negative energy, the aggression, the anger, the resentment. But when you take a shit, you are releasing this from inside of you. Too many people walk around with a shitty attitude every day. Why? Because they don't take a shit. Don't take any important decision in your life without taking a shit first. If you want to break up with your partner or buy a house, take a shit first and then decide if it is the right thing to do. Drink the water, eat the bran, and take a mighty shit whenever possible. And don't forget to wash your ass after. That is life.
That is your motivational minute here on the Davis and Davis Show.
Oh my God.
The people at work have to laugh their ass off because I find all these while I'm sitting on the toilet.
So from the other stall, you dick and mighty shit. I think I'll play that for my doctor the next time I see him. You're carrying around a lot of negative energy. Go take a shit.
So Burke, what are you drinking tonight?
Tonight is, I wouldn't say it's going backwards, but I found, remember that bottle of bourbon that was like recommended to me, and it was Old Scout something, and it was like a cask so-and-so, and it was really intense. It was really good. This is just their normal everyday bourbon. It is Old Scout Smooth Ambler. That's a much better picture. 49, so it's 99 proof.
Okay.
Non-chill filtered. That is all I have on that label from there. But it is, it's good. It's good. It is, I can kind of see where the real intenseness comes from. This has still got some of those like cherry tannin flavors. There's a lot of mid notes in this one, but let me take another.
Sure.
Of course, my nose is stuffed. It's a little tough to. Well, there's definitely some. There's sweetness in there. Maybe the touch of vanillas, but this is more of an oak and floral or fruit note, I guess. So this is kind of a nice mid-tone bourbon. Not especially burny or anything. So it's the kind of thing that is a nice palate cleanser if you've been drinking a lot of the sweet stuff or something like that. This kind of cuts through that a little bit. Okay. It's very, very enjoyable. So And what about you? What are you drinking this evening?
Well, I went back to an old reliable, and that is Crown Royal Peach mixed with ginger ale.
Diet ginger ale. Probably don't mix that with iced tea.
I like the bubbles.
Okay, yeah, that's valid.
I'm a bubbly guy.
So the peach and the ginger ale, it does sound like a good combination.
It's... All right. So the Crown Royal Peach on its own is not super sweet, but it's sweet enough to where you kind of sit back and go, this is why I use diet ginger ale.
Yeah. Well, you're on a diet.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I'm really trying to cut as much sugar out so that I can drink more. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Yeah.
That wasn't a sneeze exactly.
Nope.
Did you hit the sneeze button first?
I hit the sneeze button though. It's not overly sweet, which is why I like it. Now, the iced tea, it was a little bit too dry. Not enough sweetness for me.
Okay.
If I'm going for this type of a drink, I kind of want it to be a little bit sweet. It reminds me a lot of the Bacardi pineapple.
Interesting. Okay.
Which I love that Bacardi pineapple.
Is there a fly on your wall? What are you staring at?
I don't see my Bacardi pineapple up there.
Did it get bobified? You're gonna have to put a camera in that room just to make sure nobody's getting in there.
I went and got one of the, okay, I don't know if you've seen these commercials. There's a door handle, $69.
Nice.
Best thing that I have ever bought. It works off of a fingerprint.
Ooh.
Which is cool as all get out. Now, the only thing that makes me really freaking nervous about that is, what if the battery dies?
Oh, they've always got a way to back, like you unscrew a panel and there's always a way to do that. I mean, even with the cars, with the push button start, they've got a way to get around it in case the battery dies. So,
yeah. Well, I installed said handle and I marked all my bottles.
You froze. Oh, you're back. That was interesting.
Well, I was frozen. You were frozen too.
No, we were both chilling.
We were gelling like a felon.
What the hell you say?
Anyways, on that note, I think we're close enough.
Fair enough.
Did I ask you if anything new has happened? I mean, you told us about the doctor and all that stuff.
Yeah, the doctor stuff is about all that's new for me. So yeah, that's about it. Anything new with you?
Work.
Door handle and work. And
work.
You had the car out. You sent me a picture of the car.
Yeah. Yeah. I pulled into the gas station today, and the lady behind the counter was like, I've never sat in a BMW before. And I went,
sucks being you.
Sorry.
Let me know when that happens for you, lady.
Anyways, as everyone heard,
a little beepy means it's time to take a quick break, and we shall be right back.
How quick of a break?
I don't care.
All right. I'm just going to, we'll be right back.
George's is my favorite place to go. Called Southbound 35. Down in Kansas City, I knew damn well it ain't where I belong. No, no. I think I quit my job come 5 o'clock. I find my love way back home. When my baby said, "Just what are you trying to prove here? You really wanna leave me here alone?" Sitting staring at this ocean full of Heineken drinking Yankee mother scratches. Rather be in Texas on my own. Yeah, now we're southbound 35. Heading down the road, hit the border by the morning. So let Texas fill my soul. Texas in my soul. Come on, let's go.
You know, I don't know much about country. Is this also Pat Green?
I might have to edit that out. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Hey!
Apparently I did a faux pas there.
I was going to post on the Facebook page. The first person that can guess who this artist is.
And you didn't bother to like type that into the chat. Good job, Scott. Good job.
So, sorry, folks. Nobody's
a winner today.
Nobody's a winner today. yeah. Mr. Pat Green. Yes, that's who it is. Unfortunately for the audience, they didn't get to guess.
I had to ask. I have no clue. This is foreign as football to me, so.
Well, at work lately, all they've been playing is country. And I must hear Pat Green 8 to 10 times a day. And I just kind of sat back and I went, hey, I got to put some Pat Green in here today.
That's not bad. I mean, the first song you played was a lot of kind of bluesgrass vibe to it. I like the fiddling and, you know, it's not bad.
This one, Southbound 35, one of his most famous songs, which when he became an international hit, he actually changed the lyrics of the song. Instead of it saying Heineken drinking Yankee mother effer, he took out the Yankee thing. I mean, yeah.
Apparently there's people up north listening to his music too. Don't want to piss them off.
A classic Texas songwriter, has written many songs with Willie Nelson and Lyle Lovett and all of them. As a matter of fact, I know I've told this story before. I literally went all the way to New Hampshire one time to see him. New Hampshire. I am living in the Shire. yeah. All right. So there you go. There was the lesson for the day, people.
Other than take a mess of shit.
Take a shit every day.
I think you might hear that. You might hear that sound bite a lot.
Just gonna clip that little bit off, put that on a button. Take a massive shit every day.
I'm really looking forward to the first episode that comes out with our new inspirational moments. Today's inspirational moment by KTEL and Ronco.
Every dead body on the face of Mount Everest was once a very motivated individual. Motivation can kill you. Do not let motivation take you there and kill you dead.
It's all kinds of wrong. this is a part two show.
This is a along the same vein as last week where we talked about the book the play and the movie of MASH. And today we are going to discuss a little bit about the TV series of MASH, which had 11 seasons, started on September 17th, 1972, and ended in February of 1983.
Okay.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't have a ton of stuff on here. The one thing that kind of did like strike me was somebody was talking about as the series progressed, it made a significant shift from being primarily a comedy with dramatic undertones to a drama with comedic overtones. And I sat back, I was like, yeah, they're right. It really, like when Trapper John was on there, it was all slapstick and comedy, and they're every now and then they'd interject a little drama. And as the series went on, they tackled bigger stuff, and it became more of a almost a soap opera in a way.
In a way, it kind of did.
They had story arcs for characters that kind of played out, you know, during a season and stuff like that. And because who was it? Co-creator and comedy writer Larry Gelbart departed the season after season four. Executive producer Gene Reynolds departed after the conclusion of season five in 77, resulting in MASH being almost fully stripped of its original comedic foundation by the beginning of season six. So, yeah. Like, I read that. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So to segue into the MASH thing, we've already talked about the movie. The TV series started out as almost a slapstick.
Mm-hmm. A lot of very loud laugh tracks. Did you read about that?
That's actually in my trivia. Hello.
Should I spoil that piece of trivia then?
No, go ahead. I have tons of
that's cool.
There's
there's tons of it. So as the years progressed, the volume of the laugh track was decreased ever so slightly, like every month, you know. So it was very, very low key. And I want to say there was I can't remember. For sure there were four episodes with zero laugh track on there.
Yes, that's according to my trivia, there were four episodes. And they were extremely serious episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had some really good serious episodes on there.
Now, I'm gonna read off a few names here.
Okay.
That I think would amaze you that they were players in this long running series.
I have a few of those.
before they got totally famous, like G.W. Bailey.
Okay.
Ron Howard. Where's my dancer?
Patrick Swayze.
Tom Devers.
Leslie Nielsen.
Let me keep going. Robert Simon. Buck Young.
Okay. John Ritter.
Robert Simon, you might remember as the Admiral from Airwolf.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Lawrence Fishburne showed up.
Lawrence Fishburne was on my list.
Mm-hmm. You got to read faster.
Yeah, I know. Pat Morita.
Morita. Sorry. Mr. Miyagi. Yeah. George Wendt from Cheers showed up on that, as did Shelley Long.
Yes. Robert Ito was in it. And for those of you who don't remember Robert Ito, he was...
Conan the Barbarian?
Correct.
Okay.
But he was also in Star Trek Voyager as John Kim for one episode.
Okay.
He was... he's been a lot bigger in anime and different stuff like this.
Voiceover and
Yeah. But he was the voice for Age of Empires number 3.
Nice.
Any of you gamers out there are going to know Age of Empires.
What was his name again? Sorry, Richard.
Richard Ito. Born 2nd July 1931 in Vancouver, British Columbia. Starred in Rollerball, Quincy M.E. Oh, that's right. He was on Quincy M.E. as
Why am I not finding this guy? Richard Ito.
Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, him. Okay. Was he the Keymaster? And
he was Robert Ito. Robert Ito.
Oh, not Richard. Oh. Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, that's right. He was in a Star Trek Next Generation episode as one of the teachers. Yeah. I got it. He was in Buckaroo Banzai? I did not know that.
He was in
Across the Eighth Dimension, Rollerball, Quincy. Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff over the years.
Oh yeah.
and since you're coughing on top of that. Did you know that there was only one Korean actor in the whole series?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, everybody else was Asian, but none of them were Korean except for Soon Tech O. You can look him up. SOON-TEKOH. Soon Tech O. He played a couple different characters, both on the good guys and bad guys army. Korea there, but yeah, he's the only actor of Korean descent ever to be on the show. Everybody else was, you know, Chinese or Japanese or whatever.
Joan Van Ark.
Well, I forgot about her. Yeah.
She went Knots Landings was where.
Yes. Yeah.
327 episodes on Knots Landings.
Shoo.
Yeah.
Ed Begley Jr. showed up on episode.
Yes, he did. James Gregory, who was what was the TV show that he was in? I remember him from The Manchurian Candidate, Barney Miller as Inspector Luger.
Oh, better yet, he was on Barney Miller. He showed up at, yeah, he was, yeah, sorry. You just said that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I'm typing while you're talking. I was like, yeah, he just showed up. Great dry sense of humor. Great dude.
Another guy on Quincy. But his character on Barney Miller was,
it was fabulous.
he was the cop that didn't care. He was just
zero fucks to give.
Start on the Love Boat.
Ooh. Oh, dude, everybody that was in that showed up in this cast showed up on the Love Boat at some point in time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they were on Love American Style or Rowan Martin's Laughing. They all showed up in all of those shows. Did you know Andrew Dice Clay was in MASH?
I did know that. I saw his name. Michael Lerner.
Oh, okay.
Who I love. Just anytime he plays the father in something, it's always he's always that Jewish father that you kind of sit there and go, well, yeah. He's just like deadpan through it all. For those of you who are wondering, he was in X-Men, Glee. Where's some of his famous stuff? Dirty Sexy Money.
Oh, Godzilla, Barton Fink, Elf, X-Men Days of Future Past.
Poster Boy. Godzilla, he plays the mayor in Godzilla. For richer or poorer, he was in Clueless.
Really?
Clueless, the TV series.
Oh, okay. Hill Street Blues made an appearance. Yeah, yeah.
And he was in Newsies, of all things.
He would
Newsies.
Fit right in. He's very much a character actor. Did I mention Terry Garr?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, she showed up in an episode.
Ned Beatty.
Ned Beatty's done everything.
But it's Ned Beatty. You already mentioned Shelley Long.
Yep. Rita Wilson. Why do I have that name?
Rita Wilson was in this? I don't see her on my list.
Apparently.
I really don't see her on my list.
What the hell you say?
I don't know.
That was whatever thing I was looking at, it popped up as Rita Wilson. Maybe not the younger Rita Wilson, but a Rita Wilson.
Huh. Patrick Swayze, we already talked about. Jane Connell. Nicholas Pryor.
She played Lieutenant Lacey in 1982.
Ooh. So I guess the point that I was making with this is that through the 70s and 80s, this TV show literally,
it was a springboard for a lot of talent.
Was, yeah. I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was Patrick Swayze who was brought in as a soldier who had been injured. Which was really...
No, he had leukemia.
That was it. That was it. And he was gonna die. I think that's I think we've gone through enough of listen, go to IMDb.
The list is huge. It is long and distinguished.
It is Joe Pantaleano.
Really? Nice.
Yes.
It's Guido the Killer Pimp, isn't it?
It is. Barbara Tarbuck. I was really trying to see if somebody like Henry Winkler or... because Henry Winkler was pretty big back then.
He was doing Happy Days at that time, I think.
That, yeah, that could be. David Packer. He's packing. needless to say, this was a springboard for many people. But I kind of have to mention something that I mentioned in the last episode. And that's that out of the movie, only one person,
Gary Berghoff,
made it to the television show.
Well, he was perfect. You couldn't recast him. He was perfect.
Well, Radar was really the one character. All right, so we're going to kind of do a character comparison a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Over the movie. Gary Berghoff was incredible as Radar. And I hated it when he left the show.
Then Clinger took over season 8 or 9. I can't remember.
8 or 9. But Gary was adamant about not being typecast as Radar in the future, even though he didn't have a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
After MASH. But there are several characters on the TV show that were in the movie. Hawkeye Pierce, who was played by in the movie.
Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland.
Yep.
In the TV show, played by Loretta or
Loretta Swift, yes.
Can you tell it was a long day at work?
Yeah, it was a long day for you, apparently.
Played by Alan Alda. Which one do you think? Well, you saw more of Alan Alda than you did Donald Sutherland. But I really kind of liked Alan Alda better as Hawkeye. Donald Sutherland was a bit too dry.
Well, he and Elliot Gould were trying to understage each other all the time, so they were two very dry characters. I did enjoy Elliot Gould's portrayal of Trapper John, I think, more than I enjoyed Sutherland's Hawkeye Pierce.
Now Trapper John was played by, wasn't that Wayne Rogers?
Wayne Rogers for 3 seasons.
For 3 seasons.
Do you know how he got out of it?
He died.
No, I mean, do you know how Wayne Rogers got out of?
Oh, no.
I got trivia on you. They said, you know, your contract states that you're going to be here for 5 or 6 seasons. They went back to the contract and realized he never signed it. He just left and said, I'm out.
Come out.
What the hell you think?
And of course, they were saying,
I will send you to Jesus.
They're like, you'll never work in this town again. Um, McLean Stevens. Henry Blake.
Versus, oh gosh, where is he?
I forget his name, but he was...
Roger Bowen played it in the movie. They were very similar.
They were.
Except, like, in the TV series, Henry was not having an affair...
with every nurse?
Oh, no. That was the thing in the movie was it was only the one nurse. Like, that's... because when they rolled into camp originally... like Radar, like, whispered into Hawkeye's ear about that one nurse he was looking at, basically saying, yeah, that's the colonel's nurse. Stay away from that one. but very similar sensibilities and kind of vibes from both of them. So
I think McLean Stevens took the character a little bit further.
Well, he had more than 2 hours. Of course he did.
He was always wearing the bucket hat with the
flies, fishing the lures. Fishing flies, and
I really loved McLean Stevens. Now Bowen was great. That was actually one of my favorite characters in the movie.
Yeah,
besides Spear Chucker,
just because you like saying the name Spear Chucker. threw javelin in college.
That's for white people.
Right. That's why they call you that. Okay.
We'll have to edit that in post. So, Hot Lips. Loretta Swit versus...
Sally Kellerman. Once again, Loretta Swit had a lot more time to grow into the role, and hers was kind of an arc. I mean, she was just nothing but angry in the first couple seasons more than anything else.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Loretta Swit took me a while to actually like her as that character, as Hot Lips. And I don't know why. It took a couple of seasons for me to finally go, okay. Well, I think she was too uptight in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, that's how she was written. That's how she was in the movie. You know, it's... and she kind of relaxed, like, in the movie at the end. She was, like, you know, pulling around with... I can't remember the third guy in the Tom Skerritt's character, Duke Forrest.
Yeah,
she was fooling around Duke at the end there and everything, and you know, and Margaret kind of loosened up, and you know,
Mary Houlihan, Major Frank,
later Penobscot,
Major Frank Burns, played by Larry Linville in the TV series. On the movie, it was Robert Duvall.
Correct. Very different characters.
Totally different characters.
And I think they really needed to change that for the TV show. I don't think he could get away with that.
What?
Super religious on the TV show, per se.
Robert Duvall's portrayal was great.
Oh yeah.
Right up until they had him locked up for being nuts. And on the TV series, they had to tone down the craziness to maintain the character, because that character, I mean, when
he's a great foil for those two guys in the swamp. Yeah.
You need that antagonist in the swamp.
It was more the, you know, geeky guy, but granted, he was higher rank. He was, you know, regular army as opposed to being drafted. So, you know, he thought he was better than them, but it's kind of like the bully who, you know, the kid who was bullied and then got to be in a place of importance. And then he's doing the bullying because he's the important guy, you know.
Now, I don't know if the studios knew that they were going to get rid of Frank or he was going to leave. But Major Winchester actually came in the year before he left.
That I didn't know.
Yes, he came in 1977, and Frank Burns left MASH in 1978.
I didn't know there was any overlap there. Was there four of them in that tent then, or what happened?
That I don't remember off the top of my head. My notes don't say anything about it. But it does state that Major Frank Burns was in 120 episodes, 1972 to 1978. David Ogden Stiers, who played Major Winchester, was in 131 episodes from 1977 to 1983.
It must have been filming dates, because my info here says that Frank Burns was in season 1 through 5. And okay. Charles Emerson Winchester was in seasons 6 through 11. So maybe he joined the cast earlier than his stuff was put out. I don't know. But yeah, I honestly don't remember them ever overlapping and talking to each other. So
let's see here. Ooh, this is actually kind of cool. I have IMDb Pro. And I am actually able to look up which episodes he was in 1977. Fade Out, Fade In 1977. Let's see about Larry Linville's. Linville, Margaret's Marriage. Okay, so I see what they did. They did not overlap, but Larry Linville left in the middle of a season.
Ah, okay.
So that's why it's coming up that he was in until 1978, because the season wasn't over until 1978. But going through his episodes, his last episode was Margaret's Marriage, and the very next episode was Fade Out, Fade In with Major Winchester.
Gotcha. Okay,
so yeah, you corrected me. I'm
doing this from memory from what, 30 plus years ago of watching reruns, and I watched a lot of that show on its original airings.
Wow.
We were in Ohio in 76. So yeah, I was probably from 76 on watching that full time.
All right. The last person to compare in the movie to the TV series is going to be Father Mulcahy. Father Mulcahy in the TV series is portrayed by William Christopher.
Yep. And then Rene.
We just call him Rene.
Yeah.
That's
they feel like two very different characters. I mean, Rene played it as he's stuck out there and trying to do what he can, but he had some zero fucks to give it sometimes too.
Yeah.
Which was hilarious to watch. And Father Mulcahy was a much more innocent and always viewed everything with innocent eyes than Renee's character did.
Yeah, William Christopher's portrayal was very much of a, oh my, type character. Like,
yeah.
He was surprised at the stuff that was going on, where Renee's portrayal of him, he knew what was going on. It's almost like William Christopher's portrayal was more naive than the original.
Naive's not exactly the word. He just had a a brighter, well, not a brighter outlook. He just had a more positive outlook, even when things were horrific and horrible. And he always felt that he could do good, that other people could do good, that there was good in everybody. You know, he just had a more positive outlook on life. And once again, he needed a more upbeat atmosphere for the TV show. Because, I mean, the movie was dark. It was dark as hell. I mean, and people like me love that shit. But for a TV audience, you need somebody that isn't a womanizer or sarcastic or whatever. Yeah, he was like the everyman almost in the camp. Yeah, because he didn't really got into the jocularity. You know,
I do want to talk about G.W. Bailey's character. I don't know if you remember this, but Sergeant Rizzo from the motor pool.
Yeah, you know, I liked him.
Every time something got totally reminded me of the same character in the movie, but it wasn't Tony Rizzo. I can't remember the head of the motor pool who kept having his Jeep stolen.
Yeah. Well, that was at whatever command down the road. But yeah.
Rizzo was really, really good. I loved that character.
He was probably another one of those characters that was only supposed to be on one episode, and they liked him so much they brought him back. Because what's the other character they did that to?
Klinger
was only supposed to be in one episode.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be gay. But he just played it off as he just wanted to get out of the army wearing dresses, and they liked his character so much they brought him back.
Yeah.
And I gotta admit, I love Klinger's character.
Now I kind of take MASH, the TV series, and I consider it to be almost two eras. And that's you have the Henry Blake era.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the Sherman Potter era, because Henry Blake left almost the same time as Trapper John. Well,
yeah, very close. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you kind of have these two eras to bounce off of each other. The first era, the Henry Blake era, I would say, like I said earlier, I consider it almost more slapstick.
Yeah, well, they had comedy writers and producers at that point in time.
Yeah. It was definitely not a serious thing. Reminding me of what we talked about in the movie, where there wasn't supposed to be any mention of where the war was.
Yeah, it was all political about the Vietnam War that was currently going on, but you couldn't say that. So it was set in Korea, supposedly. Yeah.
The Henry Blake era wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I liked his character, but yeah, it was, I liked it when it got a little more serious and a little more in depth, and they allowed the actors to have input into their characters. Although I got enough time for this, let me find this real quick. There was a time when the writers were getting kind of sick with all this input that I want my character to do this, I want more screen time, blah, 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 blah. So the writers wrote two scripts that took place in the dead of winter in Korea. However, filming took place in California in the dead of summer, and they all had to wear parkas the whole time.
What dickheads. I love that. I do love that.
But honestly, they did take a lot of cues from the character. I mean, Klinger's character, obviously, the writers, like, he started talking about Toledo, and people thought that the Toledo Mudhens was a made up baseball team. No, Jamie Farr grew up in Toledo. That was all his childhood. All the places, Tony Paco's, you know, and all that was all part of Jamie Farr's childhood, and they just worked it into the script, just because it sounded good, you know, and then it was easy for them to remember. And then Mike Farrell, BJ Honeycutt, asked the writers.
We haven't even gotten into that era.
Well, I'm just saying, as another writer kind of thing, he asked the writers to change the name of his fictitious daughter to Erin, which was his real life daughter.
Okay. God, I totally lost my train.
Sorry about that.
I had some way to segue into
the second season, the second era.
Yeah, the second era. I wanted to talk about how when we okay, first off, you brought up one point that I have to say something about. Klinger was in the first season.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Klinger was not in the movie, but nope. that character was brilliant. I mean, he brought so much of himself into it. I literally have a Toledo Mudhens shirt just because of Klinger. I have met his daughter.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Oh, she's phenomenal. She's great to work with. Very fun actress. Well, actually, we were doing something that she was emceeing, and she was on Loveline with
Dr. Ruth.
No, it was Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Gotcha. Drew Pinsky. And it was, she was the co-host of Loveline. It was Dr. Drew Pinsky and Adam Carolla. Now I remember. On MTV. I think it was MTV. But yeah, just the thing about Klinger was that you could go to Toledo and some of the places that he named, you could just see him there.
Yeah, like, I guess Tony Paco's is still around and selling food, and yeah, absolutely.
He still goes to Toledo Mudhens games. Is he still alive? I think he is.
I think so.
Yeah, he hasn't died yet. Oh, God, that's
really dark and depressing. Thank you very much, Scott. He hasn't died yet.
Emotional damage.
I'm so sorry, Klinger.
Actually, Loveline was a radio call-in program.
That's how it started. Then it became a television
TV adaptation
show.
Level. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, and it was Dr. Drew Pinsky and Adam Carolla.
Diana Farr. There you go.
Very.
She's age 53. Wow. Okay. She's our age.
Yeah. She's still smoking hot.
There's no picture of her, but look.
I will send you what I have. No.
Oh, there we go. Oh. I think I have seen her in other things. Yeah, she has been in Californication, Rescue Me, Splitting Up Numbers, Charmed. Okay, The Good Doctor.
Yeah, she was in Numbers. Numbers was a great show that should have kept going. But
Modern Family, there you go. CSI, yeah, I have seen her. Desperate Housewives, Third Day, blah, blah. Okay, anyway, getting off track.
Anyways. Sorry. That's okay. You can get off track. We only have 40 seconds left before we
Alrighty, then.
We have to break, and I have to step outside.
So you want to hear episode links, like episodes done real quick? Charles Emerson Winchester, 133 episodes. Sherman T. Potter, Harry Morgan, 182.
Well, shouldn't we introduce the new characters first?
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we only got 13 seconds left, so.
Yeah.
I was going from bottom to top, so. But we have 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wait, there it is.
Make sure that you check back soon for part two of this podcast.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.